Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. My name is Art Burns, and I am, as always, very excited to be here with you today. You know, as I said yesterday, you know, it was not really a very energetic and exciting day for me yesterday, and I was honest with you about that, and at least I think I mentioned it. but again, it's about, you know, when we show up to life, right? It's about showing up entirely in spite of whatever we might be feeling. And that can either be a very positive feeling or a very negative feeling, right? Like when you're feeling, you know, gleeful, right? It's not the time to, you know, to deny something that needs to be done that might not feed that glee, right? Like, let's say you're just in an especially great mood, you know, but you also have, you know, you have a phone call you have to make to like the DMV or something like that. You have to go to the DMV, right? You know, being able to show up to our lives is to be able to say, yes, I'm feeling this enormous glee, and I know that going to the DMV is going to counteract this glee, but that's okay, right? I have to just be present with it and see kind of what happens, right? We got to kind of, you know, and again, because it's so often to say like, oh, when you're not feeling good, you know, push yourself to do something, right? But the same holds true even on the other end of the scale, like I'm describing here. Like when we feel so good, we might tend to say, okay, I only want to do good things that are going to make me feel better than I'm feeling now. And that's just the same kind of aversion and the same kind of clinging and the same kind of delusion that we talk about with everything else. So in other words, it doesn't have to be on just the negative side of that spectrum, right? Of the emotions and the feelings and the sort of, you know, wherewithal that we might have at any given time, right? So showing up is to show up with whatever's happening. Right? Whether it's very, you know, happy, gleeful, joyful, or very sad, pained, difficult, you know, or anywhere in between, right? Anything that's even neutral and just whatever, right? To be able to find that sort of motivation to do the things that we, you know, we are obligated to do for whatever reason, right? We're obligated to do it, right? Like I've made the obligation, I've committed myself to doing a daily podcast 5 days a week, right? And so for me, that's an obligation that's not taken lightly, right? And so even if I'm not feeling so well, even if I'm feeling a little emotionally down, even if it's a real struggle to get this podcast done, it's a commitment that I've made to myself. Now, there could be a time where I say to myself, okay, yes, that obligation I have made for myself, and it is an obligation that I have committed to. However, this certain life circumstance is going to supersede that. Right. So in other words, if I'm feeling like I have a fever and I'm like, you know, like really, you know, sick or something, then I mean, it's arguable that I could still do the podcast, right? I could come on here sniffling and sneezing and groaning and moaning and still do the podcast, right? But that's a moment where I might say, you know what, my health is very important here. It's even more important than this commitment that I made to the podcast, right? So it's not also about just pushing yourself no matter what, right? There is a point, there is a reasoning, a sort of open flexibility, as we talked about yesterday, right? Rigidity is our enemy, right? Rigidity is not something that's ever associated with beneficial or positive emotional health, right? Rigidity is almost always associated, and if not 100% associated, with something that is, you know, not, you know, an unhealthiness mentally and emotionally, right? Now, that's not to say conscientiousness or grit, right? Like those things, you know, determination and drive, those are good things, right? But to be rigid, to say that no matter what, I got to do this podcast, right? No matter what tragedy might have befallen me or my family, no matter what, you know, like if my house burned down, you know, like I can't then do the podcast, right? Like I have to be flexible enough to say, no, you know what? My family needs me, the insurance company, I got to deal with all this stuff. I can't do the podcast, right? Like, so it's about that flexibility, and it's about the awareness of all of that, that allows us to truly show up and then to know when, you know what, the way I'm showing up for life today is that I'm sick and I got to stay in bed, right? That's how I'm showing up to life. Like having the sort of flexibility allows us to get into that awareness to see what's the right thing to do, right? And then to make those decisions that are going to benefit us and those around us. And it really is that simple, right? So today, that was just a really long way of saying that today I'm feeling much better. And it doesn't mean that all the things that were bothering me yesterday, they're still there, right? Like there's still some issues. And just so you know, I'm dealing with some kind of deep family issues. Not my immediate family of my wife and two children, but my parental family. And you know, I'm dealing with some struggles with that. You know, there's a really hard and rocky road that we have all traveled together. Our relationships were never very loving. There was not very much empathy. You would be shocked to hear how I grew up listening to me talk now, right? And so those problems have been there for many, many years, like my whole life, basically. Right. And certainly in my whole adult life that I've understood any of it, you know, and that's not even to say my whole adult life, really. It's only been in the last like 10 years that I've been bringing this awareness and kind of figuring some of this stuff out. Right. And so it creates a very difficult, circumstance for me. Right. At the same time. Right. I have my own life to live. Right. And so. Excuse me. So the point is not, there's a podcast sneeze. I don't know if I've ever heard a podcast sneeze before. I hope you all enjoyed that. So it's not as though those problems have gone away, right? They haven't. It's not as though those problems have gotten any better. They haven't. Like really nothing has, if anything, based on an email exchange with my father, things got worse since they did yesterday. But I have been, you know, but instead of, you know, being aversive towards what was happening and, you know, doing what I would have done, say, 10, 12 years ago and, you know, gone out and gotten a bunch of beer and maybe some whiskey and just not thought about it at all and just, you know, just kind of, I can't deal with that kind of stuff. Instead of doing that, right, what I've done is I've allowed it in. Right, I've allowed all of these difficulties, all of this mess of problems to come in. So I can sit with them, right? And I can see them. I can understand them. And when I can understand them, now I can cohabitate with them. I can coexist with them. Because that's what it is, right? It's never going to go away. I mean, even after my parents pass away, which I'm not hoping for or anything, it's not, I don't have that kind of anger for them anymore, right? I have nothing but compassion for me. I wish them well. I hope that they find, in the few years that they have left, I hope they find some empathy and compassion. I wouldn't make a bet on it, but I hope that that happens, right? And so it's never going to go away. Right. This like I can't go back and relive my life differently. Right. So everything I've experienced is always going to be there in the memory of my nervous system and my brain memory, my muscle memory, my hormones, my cortisol. All of that is holding this experience forever. And it's going to be passed down to my children and their children. So it's nothing that ever goes away. And it's nothing ever that really gets resolved so much. And there's a lot of issues that we all deal with in our lives that are this way. And so that's why it's very important to be able to coexist with these issues and these difficulties that we've experienced. And doing so, right, keeps us away from either the avoidance through maladaptive coping mechanisms like drinking and smoking weed and taking pills and stuff like that, right? All my favorite tools that I used to use, right? You know, those are the maladaptive coping mechanisms, right? And then there's you know, I got wrapped up in the coping mechanisms. I forgot what the other point I was going to make, so I apologize for that. But the idea, though, is that, you know, to be able to sit with the experience, right, allows us then to live with the experience. Right. And so, and again, I think what I was going to say is that instead of turning towards those maladaptive coping mechanisms, right, which make us forget about it, or, you know, or, you know, the other coping mechanism that we might have, if it's not avoidance and aversion, it could be actually clinging and rumination and just sitting up all night and just thinking about getting angry and getting, you know, spiteful and vengeful and all of these really difficult emotions. Right, that come through that process of just playing it over and over and over, right? So those are the two extremes of how we can kind of, you know, process and get past something that's a difficult experience, right? But there's a middle way, right? There's a third way there, right? And the third way is really what we're talking about today in this episode, another deft segue by your host here, Art Burns, you know, that it's about the awareness of it, right? It's about allowing it to be, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. And I don't think of my experience with my parents as a bad thing. In fact, I think of it as something that's created who I am. And so the amount of people that I get to help every day, right? The amount of you who listen to my, you know, 300 something people are opening up my emails every day, you know, a couple of, you know, I don't know, 50 more are listening to the podcast, another 50 watching the videos, you know, that's a deep level of impact that I have on the world. And you know why I have that impact on the world? Because, not in spite of, but because of everything that I grew up with, right? Every single little bit of it is who I am right now. And so to say, like, oh, well, this part was bad and this part was good, it doesn't work that way. It's me. For all the ugliness and all the beauty and all the excitement and all the depression and all of it makes me who I am and enables me to be the person I am and to offer the help that I can help, that I can. And that really means something to me. That's made me the happy person that I want to be. That's what I want to do when I grow up. Right? And so I'm doing it. And so it's beautiful. It's painful. it's painful AF at times. Right? It's not the easy way. The easy way is to drink and smoke and, you know, whatever. That's the easy thing. The consequences are difficult, but it's the easy way to day to day. I mean, that shit is really easy. Pardon my French. Right? But this is what I want to talk to you about today, you know, because we've been talking about the inner voice, right? That inner dialogue that we all have. Now, really, we could also call that inner voice, we could call that our thoughts, right? That's essentially what we're talking about, right? That when we're going through our day and it seems as though we have somebody like just chattering in our ear all day. And again, not that you necessarily hear voices, you know, in a pathology kind of way, but just the sense that it's like this chatter, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da all day long. Jack Kornfield talks about this. He says, imagine if you had somebody following you around all day, like right behind you and just constantly talking into your, you know, as though it's your thoughts, but just somebody speaking those into your ear, right? You know, at first you'd be like, that's really weird. Okay, but whatever. After an hour of this, you'd be like, okay, dude, you need to back off. You know, please, I don't like this. Can you please, I have work to do. And then a couple hours later, you probably call the police or something because this person is not leaving, right? Like it's that, like, like what, you know? Well, that's what our thoughts are doing all day, right? They're just chattering in our ear all day long, every single day. And so we have the choice then, right? Very similarly to how I talk about letting in the difficulties that we're experiencing, right? Letting that voice in, right? Allowing it to be, right? Instead, a lot of times we here's the thing. Here's the two sort of poles here, and here's the two extremes that we're talking about, right? So most of us are walking around not really hearing this little voice, this little internal chatter, right? It's just there, right? And we don't hear it. We just kind of, you know, we're almost like surrounded by it in a way, and we can't ever get away from it, and we can't ever figure it out, right? Because it's not something that we're sitting and actually listening to. It's just kind of this noise in our mind, right? Which again, these are just the racing thoughts, right? So that's what a lot of people do, right? And then other people, you know, I don't know how percentage or whatever, but a lot of other people, right? They hear the thoughts and they hear the voice, and they don't like it. You know, this is like the addictions and the alcoholism and you know, workaholism and porn addiction and all these different kind of things that you can be addicted to, right? The reason you become addicted to those things is because you can't stand the thoughts anymore, okay? And I'm talking to you as somebody who was a functioning alcoholic, cocaine addict, pill addict, the whole thing, heroin, everything in my past. Right. And so I know what it's like to try to drown those howling voices. right? With the wine and the booze and the cigarettes and the staying out all night and, you know, consorting with really, you know, dangerous people and circumstances and things like this, right? You do this in part, we do this because it chases away those voices, right? It helps us to just, you know, not hear it anymore, right? But again, there's a middle way, right? There's a third option here, right? And that is to neither, you know, be unaware and just completely oblivious to the thoughts, and also not be afraid of the thoughts and running away from them, right? Which again, the thoughts are the internal dialogue, right? And so what it really becomes, it becomes about learning to listen to it, but listening to it in a healthy and positive way. Right? So that we're no longer just oblivious to it and just like caught up in it and stuck in it, but we're also not afraid of it and running from it and ashamed of it. Because that's really what it comes down to, right? A lot of times when the thoughts are there, you know, we feel ashamed of the thoughts, right? Ashamed of that voice inside our mind, right? And that voice is also, you know, has a certain tone to it, right? That voice is telling us, oh gosh, we're so stupid. You know, oh gosh, how did we forget this again? Oh gosh, what did I do again? Oh gosh, why am I such a loser? Oh gosh, what am I, you know, those are, you know, right? So when we can listen to those thoughts, right, then we realize that, you know, those thoughts are not, well, you know, it's, hold on, let me back up just a second, right? It's really important if we're going to bring this awareness to the thoughts, right? And just to understand them, and understanding, first of all, that the thoughts of themselves, they can't hurt you, right? They are not, they can't cause any kind of damage, right? They're just a little spark is the best way to look at it, right? And actually, I want to talk about that because this is really important. This is a really important and helpful sort of way to look at the thought process if we are going to bring the awareness and bring a non-identified awareness to it, right? Because remember that, right? It's not about, you know, like the person who feels shame and guilt and wants to drown those thoughts. It's not that that person doesn't hear the thoughts, right? Or hear the voice, right? They are hearing it, but they're feeling shame over it. And they're feeling anger and guilt and whatever else, right? So it's not that. And it's also not, again, the person who's just, you know, just stuck in it and just not aware of any of it, right? It's being able to be aware without identification, right? Which is to say that these are just the thoughts that are happening in Art's brain right now, right? They're not hurtful. They're not, and Art didn't make them, right? Like, I didn't create these thoughts. I didn't create this voice in my mind. It's just there. Right? And that's a very critical point here, right? Especially when we're trying to adopt a sort of posture, an attitude of non-identification, which is the healthy way to sort of experience our thoughts, our emotions, and our sensations of our body, right? Is non-identified. And what does that mean exactly? Right? So one of the best ways, and this came from a book, Yonggi Mingyur Rinpoche. I'm pretty sure that's his name. He's a venerable monk in Buddhism. I'm not sure which discipline or anything, but his father was a very well-known monk too. So he's definitely part of a lineage, right? And so he wrote this wonderful book. And one of the things that one of the fascinating things about this particular man and about several other people in this sort of field of Buddhism and mindfulness and stuff is that you know, he's got a deep understanding of science as well as the spiritual aspects of the Buddhist teachings and stuff like that. And that's really a sweet combination. I love that. But anyway, one of the things that he says about the thoughts, right? You know, he calls it neuronal gossip, right? Which I just love that idea, right? So basically what he's saying is that when you have a thought, and this is really a very accurate way to look at it, when you have a thought, right, it is nothing more than a group of brain cells just gossiping with one another, right? And now you can see how this happens too, right? And this is part of the awareness, right? As we sit, now look, the how to this is going to be the same thing I talk about all the time, right? It's practicing formal meditation, informal, mindfulness practices, and compassion. I can teach you all that, right? That's not the problem, right? But it's important to understand, though, right? That when we, the other day I just went through a little exercise like this, right? The other day, let me see if I can remember what it was. I don't remember what it was, but it was this beautiful connection that I made between my thoughts, right? Like I saw something like, I saw like a piece of mail come in or something like that, that reminded me of, the electric bill that I had to pay. And then I thought about, like the electric meter outside. And then I saw my, somebody walking outside. It was this whole thing. And then ultimately I started thinking about this thing, and I don't remember what it was, but it had there was no reason for me to think about this, right? Let's say it was a lollipop I was thinking about, right? There was no reason for me to think about a lollipop. There was nothing that was happening in my world about a lollipop. I didn't crave a lollipop. I hadn't had a lollipop in years. There's nothing there that would make me think of a lollipop, but yet there the thought of a lollipop was, right? And so I'm just going to fictitiously, kind of walk you through the kind of thing that I mapped out with my mind, right? So, let's say I heard, my kids, running around outside, right? And then I thought about, the fact that they're due for a dentist appointment, right? And then I thought about the fact that, that I'm doing really well with keeping down the sugary drinks, because I know how harmful those are, not just to their teeth, but to their cellular health and all kinds of issues with their body, right? And then all of a sudden I thought about that lollipop that my daughter had the other day, right? And so there, boom, you see how the laughing of children produced the thought of a lollipop, right? Now, of course, you might say, well, yeah, that I can see that. But of course, in the moment, though, it seemed completely disconnected, right? And that's what I'm trying to illustrate to you, right? Is that that's how the thoughts happen. It wasn't like I said, how can I figure out how to go from the sounds of laughing children to the thought of a lollipop? How can I make those connections in my mind? Let's do this, brain. Let's do this. That's not what happened, right? My brain just did it, and did it very quickly and very effectively. Very efficiently, right? And so there I am thinking about a lollipop. Now, of course, a lollipop is a very innocuous thing, right? Now, when I tell you about all this stuff that I'm going through with my parents, that's not so innocuous. Those thoughts can be very heavy. They can be very hard to deal with, right? And so that's where I can recognize that the thoughts that I'm having, they're just these neuronal gossip that's going on in my brain cells. It's not me who's having this thought. It's my brain that's having this thought. And so therefore, I can step away from it, right? I don't have to feel like, oh, I'm having this thought because I'm a bad person. I'm thinking about a lollipop because I'm so guilty about not making an appointment for my children's dentist, right? It's not that. It's never that. That's what we make ourselves think it is. And that's the inner voice. Right? That's the inner voice saying, oh, you see, you messed up. You did this. You made this happen. Shame on you. And that's the voice that we listen to most often, right? And so remembering again that this voice, like we talked about yesterday, I mean, this came from, your first years of your life when you didn't have any control over anything. You didn't have any concept of what was really going on in the world. There was so much more you didn't know than you knew about life. There still is, but back then there was way more. You knew just a sliver out of an entire pie chart, right? In what life is about, even the immediate family life, even the way the house works. You didn't know anything back then. So how could you possibly be responsible for any of it? You can't be. You are not. And that's true right up to now. Like, you're not responsible for that voice that's in your head. What you are responsible for is making the choice now to transcend the grips of the guilt and the shame or the anger or the whatever the big emotions that might be standing in your way of a happy life, right? You have responsibility to now make the decision that you're going to change all that. And that decision is the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. I made that decision 10 years ago. I have a whole roster of clients who made that decision over the course of the last 3 years, and every single one of them, every single one of them has benefited. Right. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's been a few people who cut out early on my programs and stuff like that. So I don't know if they benefited or not. So everyone who has gone through my program for at least 6 weeks has benefited. And I'm talking about greatly. You can go look up my Google reviews. If you Google Art Burns Coaching, read the Google reviews and you'll see for yourself. I mean, these are unprompted reviews, and these are, you know, I asked people, hey, would you mind giving me a review? But I didn't tell anybody what to say. I didn't ask any questions. So you can read for yourself what they are. And if you would like to become someone who benefits from this work, right? And I'm not going to lie, you can do it on your own. I mean, look at all these books here, right? Like you can find the information. That's a hard road to travel. Right, it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and if you have a demanding job and you have a demanding family life and all of that, then let's just be honest with each other. It is very unlikely that you are actually going to do it, and that's where a coach comes in, right? A coach is someone who can help you to develop this even amidst the chaos of your life, because believe me, I have plenty of chaos too, so I know exactly what it's like. All right, folks, so if you're interested, there's going to be a link in the description to book a free call. Now, I like to say this, right, that it's not a free call you're ordering. It's a free call that you're claiming. It's already yours. Just by virtue of the fact that you're listening to this video or this podcast or listening to the podcast, just by virtue that you're experiencing my voice in some way right now, you own a 45-minute session with me. Okay, it's part of what I offer, okay? So all you have to do is claim it. And you can do that with the link in the description. All right, everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I wish you well. I'll be back again tomorrow. Take care.